Great job, Debbie. Although I should say great, I guess, or good, or cool, or... Oh, what was it? Was that the adjectives? Okay. Take your Bibles, go to Psalms chapter 20 tonight. Psalms chapter 20. And if you found your place, stand with me if you're willing and able. Psalms chapter 20. And let's stand together out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Psalms chapter number 20. And we are working our way through the book of Psalms on Wednesday evenings, and a study that has been enjoyable for at least me. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know I've learned a lot along the way. Psalms chapter 20, and one of the shorter Psalms, just 9 verses this evening. Psalms chapter 20, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, and he will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, and let the King hear us when we call. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I pray that you would show us great and wonderful things from your word. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Do you ever have someone that offered to help you, but when they got there, they were absolutely no help at all? Anybody know someone like that? If you're sitting next to them, do not point at them, okay? That would be rude. They offer to help, but when they get there, they are actually no help at all. You go, we've got to move a lot of boxes. This happens a lot of times at the church. Like, we got to move stuff. We need a lot of people to come down to participate. We need to move things around. We need some help. And then, you know, a bunch of workers show up. And you always have the different kind of workers. You have the, you know, you have the stand around and stare workers. Like, they're holding up the walls, you know, they're just doing this. You're carrying, they're just standing there, and they're looking at you. You have the small effort but big excuse workers. You know, they're not really working, they're not even trying, but they're making all kinds of excuses. You know, back in my day, I used to be able to pick up a whole entire pew all by myself back in my day, you know. Big talk, right? Like, big talk, small effort, big excuse, right? You have the I prefer the light boxes guy, right? He doesn't actually want to. He goes for the smallest box in the room. He walks in, where's the smallest box? I'm picking the smallest box up, and he's carrying. They get one chair. This is the guy who, when we're moving chairs, he picks up one chair. You know, then you've got the good worker, and that's the guy who's doing the heavy lifting. He's got like 6 chairs, you know, and his arms are like go-go gadget, and they're just like all the way down and around, and he carries all the chairs out at one time, right? Psalms chapter 20 is about getting work done. You can see in verse number 1, the day of trouble. The day of trouble. David and Israel, King David and Israel, are preparing for a battle. Which battle? We aren't specifically told, but we do know that they are at least preparing for battle. And what Psalms chapter 20 is Psalms chapter 20 is this prayer of support from Israel to David and the men of war. They're praying for the men of war and for David as they go off into war and as the children of Israel stay home. And they're praying them. That's where you see these, Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. They're talking about David and the soldiers. Send thee help. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all your offerings. Accept your burnt sacrifices. Grant you. Fulfill the counsel of your will. Okay, so they're putting all of these like petitions toward David and the men of war of Israel, and they're praying. They're coming behind them and they're saying, it's moving day. It's time to get some work done for Israel on this front. And this is the children of Israel. This is kind of their song that they kind of sang as the children of Israel marched out, all paraded in their battle attire. You can imagine the horses and the armor and the swords and the shields and the chariots and the spears, and they're all moving out to war. And this was this song that was sung as a prayer from the congregation of Israel. What they're doing is this. This is the important lesson for us. What they're doing is they're saying, we aren't soldiers. We aren't warriors. We aren't going out to battle, but we will pray for you as you go out to battle. Like, so they're still participating in the battle, even though they aren't going out to battle. Do you understand that? Like, they're still helping in the work, even though they aren't actually there going out to work. They're still doing heavy lifting. They aren't just making excuses for why they can't participate. You know, there's just not much for us to do. I mean, I would do a bunch if people would ask me, but there's just not a whole lot. And they're saying, no, we're getting involved, and we're supporting, and we're affirming, and we're praying, and we're working, and we're backing. It's just, we aren't warriors, so going out to battle isn't going to be good for us because we're farmers. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you as you go out into battle. Listen, there are 1,000 excuses for why you can't or won't or will not participate in the work that God is doing in this church. There's 1,000 reasons why we won't or we can't or we just refuse to participate in the work that God is doing. But James makes it very clear, James chapter 4, verse number 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't get quiet on me already into the sermon, right? We're like 7 minutes in. Don't get quiet yet. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, so we know we should participate, we know we should support, we know we should help, we know we should do work, but we're not warriors. So how do we participate? And Psalms chapter 20 is how we participate in a work that is being done, even though we feel like we aren't quite qualified, or perhaps we aren't qualified in order to do. Okay, so Psalms 20 is, here's how we can participate in what gets done for the work of the Lord and in the name of the Lord, even though perhaps we aren't completely qualified, or we aren't educated, or we aren't trained, or we aren't fit ourselves to do the work that is needing to be done. So let's start there. First, there's the prayer of support. That's verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. And you see them in all the verbs. Send, defend, strengthen, remember, accept, grant, fulfill. And you notice what they're praying for David, what they're praying for their leaders, what they're praying for their workers. They're saying, may the Lord defend you. May the Lord send you. May the Lord strengthen you. Do you see that in your text? Yes or no? Nod your head. Wake up. Participate with me. You see that in your text? Listen, we're praying this for you. We want the Lord to defend you as you go. We want the Lord to strengthen you. We want the Lord to give you wisdom. Grant you according to thine own heart. Verse number 4. Fulfill all thy counsel. The end of verse number 4. So they're praying this for their leaders. How many of you know that the New Testament calls us time and time and time again to pray for those who are in authority over us? How many of you know that the New Testament tells us to do? 25% of the crowd knows that the Bible. I just told you the Bible says that, so everyone should know that. The Bible tells us to pray for those who are in authority or rule over us. And you say, well, sometimes I would pray for those in authority over us. I would pray for those in rule. I would pray for those, but I just don't know what to say. Here's a great formula for what you should say. Here's a great thing for how you pray for those who are in rule over you. May God defend you. May God send you. May God strengthen you. May God remember you. May God accept all your offerings and sacrifices. And may God grant you a according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. It's a prayer of support. This is an amazing picture. Okay, so a picture. There's this powerful enemy on the outside of the walls of Jerusalem, and here's David and all of his warriors, and they're in their battle garment, and the drums of war they beat as David and his men are about to go out to battle, and the children of Israel gather together, and they say, "This is our prayer for you, King. This is our prayer for you, army. This is our prayer for you, that God would help and strengthen you, and God would defend you, and God would accept you, and God would grant you victory, and God would go with you as you go, and God would fulfill the entire work of what you are trying to accomplish." How many have ever been strengthened in the middle of your trial when a friend has come alongside of you, put his arm or her arm on your shoulder and said, "Hey, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm for you. And I want you to know I'm praying for you." How many of you, somebody's ever done that before and it really helped you? That's what verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 of chapter 20, that's what they are all about. It's how God is showing us that He puts us in relationship, puts us in friendship. He unites us with other believers, and our role, our job, sometimes in the life of another believer is simply to support. It's simply to affirm. It's simply to pray for. It's simply to give them backing. And I don't care how you relate this. You can relate this in your family, wives towards your husbands, children towards your parents. You can relate this in your family. You can relate this in your relationships. You can relate this at your job. You can relate this in politics. I don't care how you relate it. This is the formula for how we should pray for those who lead us. You can boil this down to the church. How can we pray for you, Pastor? You can pray Psalms chapter 20. How can we pray for our deacons? You can pray Psalms chapter 20. How can we pray for our Sunday school teachers? You can pray Psalms chapter 20. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And this is what is good for us as a church to do in order to participate in the work that God is doing in the hearts and lives of people all around this congregation. God calls us as His people to support the leaders, the authorities that He has put in our lives at different times, at different seasons. And one of the ways that we can most support them is by learning to pray for them. So here's what I'm asking. This is what I'm asking you as the congregation. I'm asking, you say, how can we help? How can we help with the church? How can we help you? How can we help the deacons? How can we help teachers? How can we help Sunday school teachers? How can we help? How can we be more of a part? Here's how you can be a part. Pray for us. Pray for us. And where you see biblical error, you are certainly more than welcome to point that out to us. But more than anything, what we need you to do is we need you to pray for us. You want to keep division from the church? Pray for people in the church. You want to keep a spirit of unity in the church? Then pray one for another in the church. You want to watch God's grace be evident in the life of a church? Then pray one for another. And as you pray, you serve. And as you pray, you work. This is not a claim that all leadership in any church or even our church is perfect. We are far from perfect. What this is a claim is you're not allowed to stand on the side with hands folded, leaned up against the wall, and watch everyone do work and you just complain. Don't get quiet. Rosemary liked it, but I don't know if anybody else did. You say, how can I be a part? How can I help? This is how you can help. May the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And may the name of God of Jacob defend you. And may God send you help from the sanctuary. And may God strengthen you out of Zion. And may he remember all your offerings and accept all your burnt offerings. And may he grant you according to thine own heart that you fulfill all your counsel. There's a pursuit of involvement. That's verse number 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Look at the aim. Look at the aim. That he will fulfill all thy petitions. What's the aim? What's the goal? The people knew in their heart that David and the men of war sought to do the will of God on behalf of the people of God. And so they prayed. They said, God, this is what we want for our leaders. And we know our leaders aim good and we know our leaders aim is right. And so we're praying that you would allow them to hit the target that they're aiming for. What is our great aim at First Baptist? Our great aim is simply to do the will of God. Where do we learn the will of God? We learn the will of God from two things. You learn the will of God first from the Word of God. God's will never contradicts God's Word. I'll say it again. God's will never contradicts God's Word. We learn the will of God from the Word of God, but we also learn the will of God based on what is happening around us presently. God is never out of control. God isn't an ambulance driver driving around hoping to get to the accident in time before something bad happens. God is sovereign. God is ruling. God is directing. The sun rises. The sun sets because God says so. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. God dresses the flowers. God blows the breeze. God tells the rain where to fall. God tells the waves where to stop. God is in control of it all. He's providentially and sovereignly, those are really big words, which mean simply God is in control of everything. Nothing happens. Nothing takes place apart from the control and the plan and the purpose of God. So how do we learn the will of God? We learn the will of God from A, God's Word. God's will never contradicts God's Word. But we also learn the will of God because we can look around us and we can say, this must be the will of God because this is what is currently happening and God is never out of control. So then from God's Word, we learn how to respond to the set of circumstances that we currently find ourselves in. So that's the aim. But look at the activity, verse number 5. They say, we will set up our banners. They're saying, we're not gonna slack off. You're going out to war. You're going out to battle. You're going out to defend and win and triumph. But we aren't going to just sit here and do nothing. No, what we're going to do is we're going to set up our banners and we're going to raise the flag so that way when you're out there in the middle of the battlefield, you can always turn back and look and you can see the flag of Jerusalem waving really strong and waving really high. And you can know that we are winning. Things are good at the home front. Why? Because you're out there on battle and you can turn around and see. It's participation. Prayers, hear me, prayers require action. Adrian Rogers says, don't pray for what you won't pay for. I like that one. Don't pray for what you won't pay for. Oh, God, I just wish you'd do something special. You know how much we need and how much we can do. And well, meanwhile, God's going, what's in your wallet? What's in your pocket? You're the answer. You're the answer. Prayers require action. Prayers require movement. So there's the aim, there's the activity. Verse number 6, you see the power of relationship. You'll see a change in the language. Verse number 6, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, and he will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Everything else has been plural. Others, we, us. Now it's changed. The language is, this is the king responding to the prayer of the people. The king responds, now I know the Lord will save. Now I'm confident in God. Now I'm confident in the work of God's people and the work that God is doing. Now I know why. Because he is saving strength with his right hand. What is the saving strength of the right hand of God? It's seen in his people. David's marching out to battle and he's going, now I see God will save us, and God is strong, and God is flexing his muscles for us. And how does he see it? He sees it through the interaction of God's people. There are no lone rangers when it comes to Christianity. You want to say how good, how great, how wonderful, how spectacular our God is? Look around the room. You want to see how good and how great and how wonderful and spectacular our God is? Look around the room. Last one, though. There's this present sufficiency. Look at verse number 7 and verse 8 and 9. Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They, those that trusted in horses and chariots, they are brought down and are fallen. But we who have trusted in the name of the Lord our God, we are risen and we stand upright. Save, Lord, and let the king hear us. So, simple question tonight. Where do you put your trust? Where do you put your trust? Do you trust God? And not just when everything is going good or going great, not just when it's going your way, but do you trust him when it's difficult or when it's dark? Do you trust him like Psalms 20, on the day of trouble? Are you trusting him then? Where do you put your trust? Oh, how easily we trust in chariots and horses, and how difficult it is for us to really trust in God. What Psalms 20 is really calling for is he's calling for a king who can move and work and battle on behalf of its people and thus save him. Really, the first 8 verses are calling for the saving from a human king, which there is no human king that can fulfill all of Psalms chapter 20. Notice how it changes at the end? The beginning, Lord, hear us when we call. Look at the last verse. Let the king hear us when we call. You see who they're appropriating the kingship to? They're not appropriating kingship to David. They're appropriating kingship unto God. This is a similar theme throughout Psalms. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 2. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my king and my God, for I pray unto you. Psalms chapter 10, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, same with the word, the Lord here. Save, Lord, same use of the word Lord. The Lord is king forever. What are they saying? They're saying, for all the support that they give to their human king, the great climax is save, Lord. May you, God, the one true king, answer us in the day that we call. They're not asking for a human king to save them. They're not asking for a human king to respond to them. They are asking for God to respond to them. What they're asking for is far too great for a human king. They do not need a human king. They need a heavenly king. And we have a heavenly king. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our king because he left heaven's gates and he came to this sinful kingdom and he lived a perfect sinless life and he died an atoning death and he defeated that great dragon, sin, death, hell, and the grave. And then he rose from the grave 3 days later and he ever intercedes on our behalf from heaven. He is the great king that we all need. He and he alone has secured the victory that you need. Listen, he and he alone has secured the victory that you need. So here's my question. Do you trust him? In all that is going on in your life right now, do you trust God? Will you trust God? Some, they trust in horses, and some, they trust in chariots. And oh, how many analogies we could give for the way we trust in horses and the way we trust in chariots. Some trust in their own ability. Some trust in their own intuition. Some trust in their own money. Some trust in their own traditions. Some trust in their own success. Oh, some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But me and us and we trust in God. Who are you trusting in this evening? Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I pray that you would use your word in our hearts and our lives. I pray that we would be shaped, molded, and fashioned by it. Father, may our trust be in you and in you alone. May our trust be in you.